to the book of Luke. Book of Luke.
Feeling it's gonna ring a little. All right. Tough question to answer and to be honest with, but have you ever done wrong by somebody? So what do you mean by that? Ever cheated somebody, knowing willfully? Ever spoken ill against somebody, knowing that you did it? And have you ever done wrong by somebody or someone? Chances are you have. Whether you did it on purpose or not, whatever the circumstances, maybe even in your mind you've justified it and said it's what I had to do. We do know that it's never right to do wrong. How'd that make you feel when you did wrong? Not just did wrong like, you know, kick the dog, but like did wrong to somebody. Not that I advocate kicking dogs. What did it make you feel like? Maybe feel guilty. Why did it make you feel guilty? Because I was guilty. Because I did wrong. Make me feel wicked and dirty and evil. That's what sin does, right? It makes you feel guilty. It makes you feel evil and wicked and dirty. As a child of God, that's what happens when we sin. That's the result of that. If you sin and don't feel that, you ought to feel that when you sin. But how about when you did it to somebody else? Knowing that you hurt somebody else. Ever hurt somebody, maybe by the words that you said? Maybe you were just mean and angry and you made someone cry. How'd that make you feel? It made you feel sad. So what'd you do about it? Wrote a letter. Called them up. Took them out for lunch or breakfast or dinner. Or maybe you just got right up and gave them a hug and said, I am sorry. I'm sorry. There was no excuse. Everything I did was wrong. There's no, and you know, people are gracious and they're like, oh, don't worry about it. It was me. I provoked. No, no. I did wrong. I did you wrong. And people are nice. They try and make it easy to make right, right? But at least we should. How we handle that is important. When you do wrong. Have you ever had someone wrong you? Has anyone ever taken advantage of you? Somehow maybe abused you or betrayed you or did something to you that was just flat out wrong. You know, I try hard to, you know, understand where people are coming from. Try hard to, when things, you look at a circumstance and go, man, that just doesn't make sense. I don't know why they're acting like that. I don't know why they're behaving that way. And you try and, well, let me put myself in their shoes. And, you know, maybe they're experiencing, maybe they're just having a bad day and we try and write it off. But after analyzing the entire situation, you just look at the thing and go, they just did wrong by me. And how that made you feel? Betrayed. Maybe it was by a friend. Maybe it was by a brother, a family member, a fellow Christian. Somehow someone did you wrong. Have you ever been stolen from? How'd that make you feel? Man. I feel violated. Not that I missed the stuff, but someone broke into my car and took my stuff. I don't trust anybody, right? Makes you feel betrayed, vulnerable, weak, used. Maybe it turns it into hardness and bitterness. Ever talk to someone that had been abused or somehow used in a way? that was wrong. And what they do? They just got bitter. They got angry. They got hard towards those things. They got mean about it. Maybe you've invited, hey, can I invite you to come to church? Oh, I don't go to church. Why not? Well, I experienced this. And there's nothing good about that. It's wrong. But it made them bitter. So bitter, so much so that they lump everybody in that. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt betrayed and vulnerable and weak and used and abused and just bitter and angry and hard? When someone wronged you, what'd you do? Grabbed him by the collar. You know, sometimes we think if the movie is in black and white, it's okay, right? Well, it's not new. It's all right. It's okay. Man, they were violent back then. Yeah. You say something cross against some guy's sister, you got a mouthful of knuckles. Now we'll just talk about it. We just want to share our feelings. I don't know which one's worse, brother. I really don't know. People kicking kids and stuff on TV and movies, you know? Slapping them. Man. Ever see It's a Wonderful Life? Poor kid, right? He's trying to help the guy. He's poisoning people. And he comes in, slapping him, bleeding, all the crazy stuff. You look at that and, whoa, man. What'd you do when someone wronged you? Just run away. Tell somebody else. What do you do? In Luke chapter 17, we'll look at the first few verses here. Luke 17 and verse 1. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. It is impossible but that offenses will come. It's like a news bulletin. People are going to offend you. He's warning them. It's impossible that they won't. But woe unto him through whom they come. Hey, it's not going to be right. It's not okay. But don't worry, I see it, he says. He's talking to his disciples here. The promise of offense. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. We're not described the setting here, but obviously there's some children in the room or in the area. And he's talking about offenses. He says, hey, here, come here, little kid. He says, and he probably knows him by name and everything about him and all that. And he brings him up and says, it would be better to hang a millstone about your neck. Say, what do you do with that? You toss them in the lake. Well, say they would sink. Exactly. Don't touch the kids. Offenses. That he should offend one of these little ones. But he promised offenses were coming. I don't know if people are more offended these days than not. I think sometimes, this is what I think, for whatever it's worth. We talk about the good old days a lot. But from what I read in Scripture, and I see, and I study the characters and habits of people throughout the Scriptures, and people have not changed. People in the Bible are just like people today. And they act just like people today. So when a generation ago says, oh, when we were a kid, we never would have talked like that. You're lying. You did talk like that. You were 17 years old and you got up in your dad's face. You were a 14-year-old girl who thought mom didn't know anything. I would have never talked to my mother like that. Yes, you did. And so did a generation before that and before that. So how do you know? Because in the law, he says, if they're to the point of rebellion that they won't even move, kill them. Telling me kids all the way back in the time of Moses were disobedient to parents. He had, if they weren't, he wouldn't have said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why did he have to say Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1? Because children disobey their parents. And they have been for the last 6,000 years. So I don't know if people are less offended today than they were back then. Say, oh, we had thick skin. No, you didn't. You didn't. Remember the late 60s? There was no thick skin anywhere in the 60s. I've seen documentaries. Psalm 119 verse 165 says, for the Christian, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Say, oh, I'm so easily offended. Well, maybe. Is it the offender or the one being offended that's the problem? Probably both. Because he warns. He says, hey, woe unto him through whom the offense comes. But he promises offenses will come. So, have you ever wronged somebody? Or how about this? Have you ever been wronged by somebody? Christ warns us. He says, it's going to happen. It will happen. So what do? Warning to those that cause an offense. Specifically in children here. Be careful that you don't offend the kids. So how would you offend the little ones? Well, we can talk a lot of ways. First, we see the promise of an offense. Secondly, look at verse 3. It says, take heed to yourselves if thy brother... Man, I have a brother. He's younger than me. Makes 6 times as much as I ever will. He lives in Manhattan. He's doing great. Financially. Spiritually, he's a mess. I love him. Love him to death. I have a brother. Look at the one he warned to. He doesn't say, take heed to yourselves if thy enemy trespass. What does he say? The two things you would think you would not do. Offend a kid? Like, who's picking on the kids? Leave the kids alone, right? Aren't we pitiful towards children? Little kid runs and falls and, oh, it's okay, let me help you. And, you know, we pick them up and try and clean them off. If an adult fell, we laugh, right? Are you okay? I mean, you're slow getting up, but, you know, I'm not coming over there to wipe it off. We're pitiful towards children. And then the brother? Hey, take heed, he says, to yourselves if thy brother trespass against thee. What does it mean to trespass? It means, listen to the definition, to commit any offense or to do any act that injures or annoys another. Guilty. Have you ever been injured by somebody? So, yeah, God, what do I do? What do I do? It tells us, doesn't it? If thy brother trespass against thee, gives us 3 points right here. Rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Man, that's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? Number one, we don't like confrontation. Hey, I'm missing $20 change. I don't want to go in and talk to the cashier. I don't want to do it. I'll just miss out. We don't want confrontation. Hey, that guy just slashed your tires. Yeah, I'm sure he had a reason. I don't want to talk to him. I don't like confrontation. I'm sure they didn't mean it. He has a knife in his hand. Yeah, that's why I'm not talking to him. The first point is, if a brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, he says. What does rebuke mean? To chide, to reprove, to reprehend for a fault. In Titus chapter 1, we see the example with the Cretans. He says, rebuke them openly. I'm not sure that would necessarily work all the time. So look at Galatians 6:1, right? If a brother offend thee, what? Go look at Galatians 6:1. Galatians 6:1. Hey, we're trying to answer the question, what do I do if I've been offended? You go to them. You rebuke them. Say, hey, you hurt my feelings. If you hurt somebody's feelings of a brother that you love, wouldn't you want to know that? If you can't get over it, because great peace have they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them. So if you are in the place where you can't get over it, I'm not saying you cause a lot of trouble by the thing, but go to the person and keep the problem list short. Because we're like elephants, we don't forget. And somewhere, whether it be a decade out, we're going to look for an opportunity to make that thing right. Publicly. So how do you know that? Because people haven't changed. People haven't changed. If you can't get over it, deal with it. Brethren, if man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I recommend this verse. If you can do it in the spirit of meekness, if you can approach the person at the right place, at the right time, with the right spirit, and make things right, I recommend doing it. Fixing that which is broken. It's not worth it. It's not worth it with a brother. It's not worth it. Rebuke him. Say, hey, listen, you did wrong there. You were mean. And you hurt my feelings. Oh, well, you're too soft. No, you did wrong. You injured me. And what should be the response of that one that did wrong? Look at, go back to Luke chapter 17, verse 3. And if he repent, what does repent mean? To feel pain, sorrow, or regret for something done or spoken. Usually followed with the words, I'm sorry, sincerely. Children are excellent at saying they're sorry without saying they're sorry. Blood's coming from the head. Sorry you ran into my fist. That, no. No. You. The repentance is, the responsibility is on the offender. Hey, offender, if you want to keep this relationship right, here's your opportunity to say you're sorry and do everything you possibly can to make it right. Restore and make right. Apologize. Repair. Repay. Do all of that. If you've spoken an evil word, do your best to make it right. Let me help you though. You'll never be able to restore it 100% perfect. So that's not fair. That's truth. Because you said something. You did something. You injured somebody. A woman repeated a gossip story about a neighbor. Within a few days, everyone in the community knew the story. The person she talked about heard what had been said about her, and she was very sad. Later, the woman who had spread the story learned that it was not true and was very sorry. Went to a wise man and asked what she could do to repair the damage. After giving this some thought, the wise man said to her, go home and get one of your feather pillows and bring it to me. Surprised by the man's response, the woman followed his advice and went home to get a feather pillow and brought it to the man. Now, said the wise man, open the pillow and pull out all the feathers. Confused, the woman did what she was told to do. After a few minutes, the man said, now, I want you to find every one of those feathers and put them back into the pillow. That's impossible, said the woman, almost in tears. The window was open and the wind has scattered them all over the room and blown many feathers outside. I can't possibly find them all. Yes, said the wise man. And that is what happens when you gossip. Tell a story about someone else. Once you talk about someone, the words fly from one person's mouth to another, just like feathers flew in the wind. Once you say them, it is very difficult to get them back. Let's remember that. You'll do your best to repent. You'll do your best, but do you understand it's better? Say, oh, I'll just... Well, sometimes we think that way with God. Did grace abound that I could sin more? No. God forbid. No. We think we can just 1 John 1:9 it, right? Well, I know what I'm about to do, but I'm just going to... After, I'll just ask God to forgive me. No, there's an effect of sin. The best course of action is to never speak gossip. Say, oh, here's what I'll do. I'll talk the story. I'll talk down about somebody or injure somebody verbally or physically. And then when they approach me, I'll say I'm sorry. And then they have to forgive me. Do you understand? It's better to have never gone down that road. But the Lord does give us an opportunity to try and fix things. So what do? We do everything in our power to repair it. We do everything in our power to fix it. We apologize, we go to the people that we've offended and the people that we hurt and say this, I don't make excuses, I don't blame anybody else, I did wrong. And the Bible says, and then we forgive them. To forgive them. To treat the offender as if it never happened. Say, that's impossible. That's what God did with us, doesn't He? Tell me about heaven. It's a perfect place. Right? Perfect. That means there's no sin. Yet sinners are somehow able to get in. How is that? Because God treats us as if we've never sinned before. He has completely forgiven us. And He says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to rebuke them. And when they come, I want repentance to happen. So difficult things are happening on both sides. Number one, there's an offense. Who likes to go to the one that's offended them? If they can't get over it, you have to go to that one and say, listen, George, you hurt my feelings. I don't imagine ever having to go to George Sutliff and saying this. Brother Sutliff, you hurt my feelings. You said something and you were an offense to my kid or something. At that point, humility will always work and always win. It's not easy for me. But it's also not easy for him to say, I'm sorry. Here, bring your son out. I'll explain what I did was wrong. I don't want him to think in any way that was right behavior. I'm very sorry. And we do our best. I forgive you. We hug, we have something grilled, and then we're on our way. And that's the plan. See, that's really hard. Because now we're thinking about not just saying a mean thing, but in all of our lives there was something. There's maybe multiple occurrences where something happened in our life that we would almost categorize as unforgivable. Whether we did that to somebody or we had that done to us. And yet God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to that one. I want you to rebuke them. They'll repent and you forgive. Who is it harder? I would say the offender. No, the offendee. The person who's been offended. Number one, they have to initiate a confrontational conversation. Difficult. And then they're expected to forgive. So out of 3 points, they have to do the 2 hard ones. Certainly the repentance is not easy. So I don't know. Look at Luke 17, verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. 7 times in one day, if the same thing happens, you know what that means? Every single time someone tries to make right, every single time the phone rings and says, I've done it again, I'm sorry, it is our obligation as Christians to our brother to forgive them. Say, that's very difficult. Everybody knows it's difficult. If it was easy, everyone would do it. That's what distinguishes a Christian. Luke 17:5. And the apostles and the members of Walker Bible Baptist Church said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Because I don't see it like that. How God can perfectly forgive. How can we be expected to follow that? Because we look at that and go, how do I come out good on that? You just got to trust. You just got to trust the Lord. See, I don't know about this plan. How have you... Hudson's asleep. You have a red letter edition? Who's telling the story? It's in red, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's telling the story? Jesus himself is telling, this is what we do. Say, well, this does, Luke 17, everybody knows that doesn't apply to the Christian. No. And he gathered all the Jews of Jerusalem together and said, only you 12. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say it. So what do we need? I need faith to forgive. Forgiveness takes faith. Trusting God that He'll do what He said He would do. Say, it doesn't make sense on paper. You don't know the hurt. You're telling God He doesn't know what He's doing. I'm not making this thing up. It's what it says. And the apostles recognize it's hard. I recognize it's hard. God recognizes it's hard. But He still holds you to it. So we cry out to God and say, God, help us be more like You. Because He does it perfectly. So we ask God, God, make me more like You. Make me less of me and more of You. Lord, increase our faith. Because I look at the scenario and I don't see how this I can make this work. Because You don't know the wrong I've been done to. There's no qualifiers here. It doesn't give us details of what it is. And when we look up the definitions, we could put worst case scenarios and still the definition works. How do we forgive? Through faith. That's the only way you can. Let's all stand. Promise of offenses. The offense of a brother, but the faith of forgiveness. I'm going to warn you, if you're unable to forgive, you're going to carry a very heavy load for a very long time. It doesn't go away. It just gets heavier and heavier. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the power of the Scriptures. God, I pray that if this is where someone's at here tonight, I pray that You'd help them. Lord, give them the faith to believe that You could do all the things that You've said. Lord, help us to do our part. Lord, if we're the offended, may we either get over it or confront it. If we're the one that has done the offense, Lord, help us to humble ourselves and apologize. Make right. That we could restore one another. God, give us the faith to do it all. Give us the faith to forgive. Lord, thank You for these dear people. Lord, I pray You'd bless them. Lord, lead them and guide them. Give them strength. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.